I don't believe in luck. No, I don't believe in coincidence either. I don't serve a powerless God. Amen. Ephesians 5, please. Ephesians 5. Brother Josh praying there. When you get the panic on a crowd, women get to screaming and people get to running and they can be more hurt trampling each one another. And we need to really meditate on what God did last night. You get 17 professions of faith, 17 is the number of victory in the Bible. Amen. Oh my. I'm going to talk to you a little bit as God would help me on the evidences of the Spirit-filled life. Now, I wish I could get to tomorrow today, because to me it's the best part of it, in my understanding, but I can't get tomorrow till I get to today, on evidences of the Spirit-filled life. Verse number 18. Thank y'all again for y'all coming. It humbles my heart. It helps me just have to study about a lot of these sermons I'm preaching are brand new. I hadn't never preached before. And I love that when God does me like that. Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. There's the first evidence of being filled with the Holy Ghost. You want to worship God. You want to help others worship God. We're so excited about Christ, we want everybody to know Him. God gets big to you. God needs to get so big to us. We believe He can take care of all of our problems. I tell you, it's a great day of maturity in your life when you love the giver more than His gifts. You love the blesser more than His blessing. When you first start out for God, living for God, you got a million things in your heart you want to ask Him for. And then you get caught up in Him. The farther you get with God, the more you ought to be caught up with Him, not what He can give you, but who He is. Verse 19, or verse 20, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Now there's a lot of evidences of being filled with the Holy Spirit in the Word of God, and I'll mention some of them today. But here you've got the three most preeminent ones, and it's sort of like the fruit of the Spirit. If you got love, you got all of them. Any man that walks in love has all the fruit of the Spirit operating in his life. It is automatic. Most important thing in the Christian life is loving God with all your heart. Not what you do. No, not what you do. Most important thing is being what He made you to be. And a lot of times we're so works-oriented in our mindset and understanding. God cares more about what you become than what you do. Because if you don't become right, you're not going to do right. Amen. And what comes out of you won't be for the glory and the honor of God. But the Lord here is talking about the Spirit-filled man or woman who will be full of praise. They'll be full of thanksgiving and gratitude. And there'll be submission in their lives. More to be filled with the Holy Spirit. What does that mean? To be filled with the Spirit. It means to be under the control of the Spirit. It's not some good feeling. Though there's a thrill in the field. We know that. But it's way beyond that. It's when Christ is Lord of all areas of your life. In First Thessalonians 5. And verse 18, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. He didn't say that you thank God for all things. He said in all things give thanks. Now, the Word of God is written to people that cannot do what it says. You can't live the Christian life. There's no part of you can live the Christian life. Christ lives the Christian life. And he lives it through you. That takes the pressure off you. But unless you surrender to him, where he's got control of you, he won't live it through you. That's the secret. It's not me trying to do what I can do. It's letting go and letting God have his way. All these verses that I'll read to you are impossible unless you're filled with the Spirit. So in all circumstances, we're to give thanks, for this is the will of God. In Christ Jesus, we do it for Christ's sake. Now, in all things, give thanks. How can you give thanks in all things? Because we believe the sovereign hand of God is in control of all things. He didn't say, feel thankful. That's the key. Not feel thankful, but you give thanks by faith, and then you'll feel thankful. You ever know, Satan, you start worshiping God by faith, and then you start feeling like worshiping. People say, well, I'll pray if I feel like it. You ain't going to pray much. You pray till you feel like it. Hey, you pray so you can pray. Amen. We praise the Lord because he loves us and does all things well. And he's too wise to make a mistake. Now, when we look at these things, we praise God in all circumstances. And we're trusting God that all things work together for good to them that love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose. So the first line of obedience to the Lord is giving thanks, for this is the will of God. And Ephesians 5:18, be not drunk with wine wherein is excess. That word excess means debauchery. A man that's drunk is under the influence of alcohol. He changes, everything about him changes. The old people, and it's on the books of our laws, alcohol was called distilled spirits. They wasn't fools. You drink liquor, you'll get spirits. There's a power comes over you when you get drunk. The inhibitions are removed. And what God is saying, have that. When you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you lose a man-fearing spirit. All those inhibitions of doing the will of God is gone, and God controls us. Now let me explain this best I can, or let's say the best I understand. I'm certainly no expert on this. Matter of fact, I'm not an expert on anything, except I'm a failure and a nothing without him. When we come to this thought, God anoints a man to do the work of God. The anointing gives a man the ability. David was anointed to be king. Now, I wouldn't argue with you 5 seconds, so we'll not even have that conversation. I don't believe King Saul was saved. I don't think you kill 85 priests and you're saved, and you chase God's anointed trying to kill him full of that viciousness and evil spirits and be saved. What Saul had was the anointing to be a king. He had the wisdom. He had the skill to be king. What David feared in Psalm 51 is that God would remove that anointing and the fellowship he had with him and become like Saul. That's what he feared. But to be filled with the Holy Spirit is for everyday life. To be anointed is to be given the power and the ability to do God's work. To be filled is for daily power over sin, over temptation, the power to pray, the power to rejoice in Him, fullness for our daily life. Now, being filled with the Holy Ghost is a divine command. You think over there in 1 Thessalonians 5, He talked about in all things giving thanks. He said, rejoice evermore. He said, pray without ceasing. You can't do that unless you're full of God. Man is a spiritual being, and man must have supernatural experiences. If a person does not find the supernatural at the house of God, they'll go outside of it to find it. When the real glory and the power of God is not in the church, the devil gives people who are seeking an experience a counterfeit. No, that's right. Oh, you think you either we're going to be full of the Spirit or the unholy Spirit. What is the fullness of the Spirit? When Christ is real to you. When Christ is real to you, you've got a peace that passeth all understanding. You've got joy unspeakable and full of glory. Now, to be filled with the Spirit is a command of God. I'm not going to tell you nothing you don't already know. I'm not going to tell you a whole lot of things we ain't practicing. We're not powerless for a lack of knowledge. We won't do what God says. We go to the buffet bar preaching in God's Word, and we take what we want and refuse what we don't like. To be successful in the work of God, we must learn this principle. I have no ability to do anything spiritual for myself or for God unless God does it through me. I have none. Elijah's the greatest prophet in the Old Testament, at least one of the greatest. Elijah is on Mount Carmel. He has put the bullocks in their places. He's divided the pieces. He's restored the altar. He's built up the 12 stones that represent the 12 tribes of Israel. They've dug a trench. He's done all that preparation. And they go get 4 barrels of water, and they cover the sacrifice and the altar and the trenches. And they do it 3 times. Now, Elijah prays that famous, I think somebody counted, 69-word prayer. But before Elijah did that, he said, how long halt ye between 2 opinions? If the Lord be God, follow Him. But if Baal, then follow him. And the people answered him not a word. You know why? They don't know who the real God is. They're in apostasy. They need to see evidence that the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob is still with them. Verse 38 changed everything. Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stones, and the dust licked up how the water that was in the trench, all the people saw it. They fell on their faces and said, the Lord, He is the God. The Lord, He is the God. That's a type of a man being filled with the Holy Ghost. Jesus said when the Holy Ghost came, He'd baptize you with the Holy Ghost and fire. Now, I know that fire represents judgment. It also represents zeal on the child of God. What was above their head on the day of Pentecost? Cloven tongues like as a fire. God puts fire in us. That's what convinces people. Now, they may not do it, but if God's fire's on us, they'll know how that we're real and that God's hand is on our life. Jesus gives a lot of metaphors. The Bible does about the, y'all just bear with me, man, my throat's messed up. But it's messed up for a good cause. Jesus said, out of your belly, out of your innermost being, shall flow rivers of living water.
is a river bed dried up that's got no water.
Without the Holy Ghost, the water gives life and the water sustains life. And I'll tell you, this dry, parched, dusty world needs one thing, and that's the river. They need the river running out of God's people. What is the primary responsibility of the man of God? Is to stay full of the Holy Ghost. Elisha was first called Elisha. And then he's called Elisha the man of God. And then he's just called the man of God. In John 7, Jesus said, if any man thirst, you start out thirsty. But you end up quenching the thirst of others. That's God's plan. John 7:37, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly, that's his spirit, shall flow rivers of living water. Religion has no outflow, but the spirit-filled life has got an outflow of the river of God. That extends God's life and blessing to others. I want to tell you something about spirit-filled life. There's two things got to be resident in your life. You got to see Christ as the owner and the operator. He's the owner, operator. He be Lord. If Christ isn't Lord in your life, you ain't filled with the Holy Ghost. You're obeying Him. In the light He's given you, if you're full of the Holy Ghost. Amen. I didn't say to perfection, but when you don't obey Him, you get quick forgiveness because you can't live without being in fellowship with Him. I tell you, number one reason of being filled with the Holy Ghost is not power to witness, it's not power to preach, it is to stay in fellowship with God Almighty. God wants to possess you completely, spirit, soul, and body. The Holy Spirit will not allow selfishness and your flesh to control you and really put His power on you. He's not in competition with you. When you step down off that throne, He'll step up on it. But do you step down, He ain't stepping up. Amen. We sit around like God is our servant. That's right. We live like God's our servant. People live for themselves all week long, come to church and command God what they want Him to do. Christ will never set on a man's heart in power until he steps down. The two things got to happen. You got to dethrone self and enthrone Christ. He's got a right to every area of my life. Being filled with the Holy Ghost is the person that gives Christ the liberty, that cooperates with Him to do what He desires to do. Jesus said, when the Holy Spirit has come, He'll testify of me. He'll glorify me. It's a command to be filled, to be controlled by the Spirit. It's a command to be continually controlled by the Spirit. I'm going to give y'all a couple verses here that will substantiate that point. Acts 6:31. The deacons were said to be full of the Holy Ghost. Acts 7:22. How did Stephen die in such victory? Stephen was full of the Holy Ghost. That means God had him lock, stock, and barrel. Amen. Acts 11:24, Barnabas was said to be a good man and full of the Holy Ghost and faith. And much people were added to the Lord. Full's an habitual, continual experience. God fills us, and then He enlarges us so He can fill us more. And He enlarges our understanding, our capability, our obedience, so He can fill us more. Amen. Now the contrast is made here between being full, filled with the Holy Spirit, and drunkenness. We are commanded to be controlled. We're commanded to be continually controlled. And we're given a contrast. Alcohol is a depressant. It looses people because it depresses their self-control, their moral restraint, their inhibitions, and it depresses their wisdom, their balance in judgment. The old saying used to be, get a girl drunk and she'll do anything. If you get her drunk, listen to rock music, she sure will do anything. God, that's awful weak for a bunch of preachers. Listen to me preach, not saying amen right there. The Holy Spirit has exactly the opposite effect of getting drunk. The Holy Ghost is not a depressant. He's a stimulant. He'll stimulate you. He'll give you energy in your flesh. He'll give you the power to do His work. Thank God He comes upon us to give us power to perform. He gives us self-control. You ever heard this saying? That, Brother Randy, you've heard this and you've done this. That man preached beyond his ability. How does a man do that? He does that through the power of the Holy Spirit. God is supernatural. When the Holy Spirit, that doesn't mean you jump aisles and jump chairs. You might do that if you're young enough. Praise God, you better know God's in there or you'll have keys over somebody else. Listen to me, folks. I'm not being critical. I'm being honest. Most people in the South do not hear what a man preaches. They watch how he does it. Vance Havner never raised his voice. He could pierce you like a double-edged sword. B.R. Lincoln, wit, power. Spirit-filled life produces harmonious communication. Speaking to yourselves in psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, making melody in your heart to the Lord. You get full of the Holy Ghost, you want Him to have your attention all the time. You're not taking a vacation for 10 hours. I mean, that doesn't mean you don't have time with your family. I'm not stupid, and you're not either. But everything you do is unto the Lord. With His permission. You've got the desire to worship God. That's what He's saying. There's an absolute connection between being filled with the Spirit and offering up acceptable praise. When you're full of the Spirit, praise is natural. Now, it may not be like somebody else's, but it's yours. Some people cry. Some people raise their hand, some people laugh, some people jump up and down, but it's all done decent and in order according to the Word of God, and it brings honor to the Lord. The Holy Ghost might make you do something foolish to your flesh, but He'll never make you do something indecent or unbiblical. A woman falling out in the aisle, slain by the Spirit, her dress flying up, it's of the devil! That ain't God! Holy Ghost won't make you take your clothes off. It'll make you put them on. No preacher got to talk to you about modest dress if you're full of the Holy Ghost. You know why we waste our time talking about stuff like that? Our people are walking after the flesh. The desire. That's why, you know, you got a bunch of wilderness believers when you got to get on stuff like that all the time. If it's full of God, you'd never have to mention that. Because the Holy Spirit exalts Christ, He leads us to worship Him. Psalms, that's God's Word. His was hymn book. Hymns, spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. That's where you worship throughout the day. Harmonious communication, continuous thanksgiving. Heart of gratitude. The attitude's right. Create within me a clean heart and renew a right spirit within me. 1 Thessalonians 5:20, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. So, we're filled with praise, we're filled with thanksgiving, and we're filled with gratitude. Brother William, you know one of the great sins of Romans 1? They were not thankful. And then you got mutual submission. Boy, we have been brainwashed in this country. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Now that's before he mentions the husband-wife thing. You know why? That's primarily to the church. It does apply to the husband and wife. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Now, let me just say this. I don't have time to deal with this much because you're hot and it's late. Submitting is a military word. It means to be under rank. It speaks of the way that an army is organized. It talks about different levels of rank. You got generals, you got colonels, you got captains, you got majors, captains, sergeants, privates. These are different levels of rank. Each person is obligated to respect and submit to those who are of higher rank. That doesn't mean that the general's smarter than the private. That doesn't mean the general has more character than that private does. It means you can't have an army without authority. Somebody's got to be in charge. Somebody's got to have the last word. In the army, a soldier that is not under authority is not under rank, is what they call it. A soldier, sailor, that's not under rank. What do you call that? Mutiny. Why do you think the devil has so infested our churches? Mutiny. There's different levels of authority. Society in America is headed for chaos like we've never seen because there's not submission to authority. That means we're all obligated to submit to authority. Now you're not going to do that if you're not full of the Spirit. You're going to buck and rebel and murmur. Every time you murmur at your pastor, you are rebelling against authority. Now if he ain't right and you can't follow him, leave peacefully and go somewhere else. But even if he's wrong, you better watch what you say. God told Miriam, why did you not fear to speak against my servant Moses? Moses may not have been right, but they had no place to straighten him out. When a preacher goes bad, he's got to be dealt with. You better get the men to do that in the right way or you'll stir up a trainload of demons. These things ought to be done right and not in front of women and children. Amen. Not mutiny. We're all under rank. We're not to disturb the peace of the church. We're not to be self-seeking. We're to have not an individual attitude, but a team attitude. We're supposed to help the team win. Now that defensive or that offensive line, and the center and the guards, the tackles, the guards, tight ends, everybody is working for one common goal. Now the quarterback's going to get all the glory. Or the running back's going to get all the glory. But they already resigned to that. It doesn't matter if they can just win. Because those that really matter, they know the war's on that line. It's on that offensive, defensive line. That's where it's won. I don't care who you are. If you can run the 40 in 3.5, and that's impossible, I think. But if you can do that, means nothing if you don't have a hole to run through. That's right. You can't, listen to me. Good defense will beat good offense. You can't win if you can't score. You hold an offense long enough, they're going to make a mistake, and the defense is going to score. What I'm trying to say, we're to respect one another as a company and as a unit in the fear of God and be a team player. You know why? Out of the fear of God, out of respect for the authority and the submission of Christ to the Father and the Spirit to the Son. You know what your motive of submission is? Because Jesus asked you to. He told you to. You do it for him, you don't do it. That's the biggest reason you do it for him. So the sequence of the Spirit-filled life. Here's another outline I stole. Harmonious communication. Continual thanksgiving and mutual submission. We will not and cannot obey the rest of these verses if we don't get that right. If you don't understand the difference in roles in the home, that's difference in rank. That's how God set it up. You'll never submit to it. Hey, I can browbeat precious ladies of the church all I want to. If they're not full of the Holy Ghost, they're not going to do this. They might do it outwardly, but they're going to be rebelling in their heart. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. So wives are addressed before the husbands are. And children are addressed before the parents. And the slaves or servants are addressed before the master is. You know why? God's got a line of authority. Submit means to recognize someone who has legitimate authority over you. Ladies, y'all aren't a man's doormat. Because if he loves you, if he does his part and loves you like Christ loved the church, you're full of the Holy Ghost, your greatest delight will be to please him. When you get full of God, your greatest desire is to please Christ. You recognize God's order of authority. We work as a unit, not as an individual. When you submit to the police, you recognize their authority. Sub is under mission. That speaks of the priority in our life. Submission. The pastor's under the authority of Christ, for sure. Ain't no preacher got a right to do anything they want to do. He does that, he won't have many followers, or he's producing a cult. Or cultish. Ain't no man got the authority to do what he wants to do. No. We're the under-shepherd of God's flock. And we're to lead them as Christ would have us lead them. So, submission that speak that your husband's superior to you. Well, your husband's not superior to you. He's not a better man. He's a better man than you because you're a woman. Hallelujah. I still believe in that. You're just saved as he is. God loves you just as much. You got your role just as he's got his. That ain't got a thing to do with it. There's different roles. The Bible never commands a general submission of women to men in society, to your own husbands. Now this is where error comes in. As to the Lord. That doesn't mean as God himself. Your husband is not God. He is not Christ. As to the Lord. What's the motive here? This is what this means. Wives submit because it's their duty to the Lord. Because he asked them to. They do it for him. Why? For harmony in the home. Why? For an example to the children. Why? To stop demonic rebellion in that house. A wife cannot and will not do this unless she's filled with the Spirit. Not do it in joy. The husband is to be shown respect. Sarah called Abraham Lord. That means sir. I wonder how your children would treat their daddy if they seen their mama treat their daddy like this. Ephesians 5:23. For the husband is head of the wife, even as Christ is head of the church and Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject to Christ, unto Christ, so let their wives be to their own husbands in everything. As to the Lord, in respect to Jesus. We see here the head has the idea of headship and authority. It means to appropriate responsibility to lead. The woman was taken out of man to be a helpmeet to the man. That's just right. Man was created first. Man, not woman, was given dominion over this earth. It was man, not woman, that gave names to all of the animals. God put him in leadership and God put him in lordship. Authority and power. And that husband, when he's full of God, he's an umbrella of protection to that wife. He protects her from the devil. Adam was given responsibility over Eve. the difference was in roles. And God done that before the fall. A woman is to compliment the man. When a woman gets married, she gives up her name and is seen in the man. She is to submit because the relationship of husband and wife is a direct typology of Christ and His church. That husband's the savior of her body. That means he guards her, he shields her, he protects her, he provides for her, he's her rock, she's a leaning on. Spiritually, financially, physically, in the physical realm. So the husband nourishes and cherishes his wife. What I just told you today is the most hated doctrine in the Bible, I guess. Because the devil knows if he can get that man not right loving his wife and that wife not right reverencing, submitting her husband, then the demonic power is turned loose in that home. The command of the husband requires the same. You can't do what God said unless you're full of the Holy Spirit. Ephesians, I've tried it. It won't work. Husbands, hey, it takes more than that to your will. Because you and her sandpaper, God give you a wife to be your sandpaper, and God give you a husband to be the sandpaper to polish you up, get your rough edges off of you, teach you how to love, how to forgive unconditionally. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife, loveth himself. Well, to become one, when you love your wife, you're loving yourself. You be good to your wife, you're just being good to yourself. Is that what this says? You be a tyrant to your wife, you just cutting your nose off to spite your face. Verse 29, no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. If your husband, your wife ain't right, maybe they're not saved. Why don't you ask the Lord, Lord, would you help me to love them to Christ? I'm tell you something, ladies. There ain't no man going to listen to you preach. I don't listen to women preach. Men sow the seed, not women. Man told me that just got saved. Had enough sense to know that. Women are not in authority over a man. God, y'all, what is wrong with y'all? My God, that's right. Hey, you don't win your husband preaching to him. You win him by submission to him. Love, holy conversation, and a quiet and a meek spirit. You'll not win him being a battle axe. Amen. So ought men, and always having to say the last, have the last word and screaming at him. It's a wonder God don't kill you. You talk to Jesus like that, then you don't talk to him like that. You see, he's out here running around on me. Well, I wouldn't live with somebody going to give me, come bring me diseases. You can be separated so you can be reconciled, and we'll not get into that. So all men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loved his wife loved himself. God help me, hurry. For no man yet hated his own flesh, nourisheth and cherisheth it, as the Lord the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife as himself. That's the last verse. And the wife see that she reverence her husband. God showed me this a long time ago. Well, it's just in the Bible. The number one thing, ladies, listen to this. The number one thing that a man wants above everything is respect. If you don't respect your husband, he don't care what else you do. Respect, first thing. First thing you do when you come to God, you fear him. That's respect. What a woman needs is love. God never commanded a wife to love her husband. He commanded a husband to love the wife. Because that woman needs love. She needs attention. She needs security. She needs her husband to be a man and to be the king so she can yield to him as his queen. That's what Charles Worley used to say. You treat her like a queen, she'll treat you like a king. A man's to love his wife as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. Where are you going to get that kind of love? You can't get it unless the Holy Spirit sheds it abroad in your heart. The fullness of the Spirit, here it is. When you're full of the Holy Spirit, you lovingly, reverently submit. That doesn't make you a doormat. When you're full of the Holy Ghost, the man loves his wife. You know why? Because he loves Christ. You don't have to worry about a man who loves Christ. You say, oh, my husband act right. Well, pray you'll love Christ, and he will. Amen. Spirit-filled life restores divine order. What man lost in the garden, I, Lord willing, say more about that tomorrow. God restores when we're filled with the Holy Spirit. Okay, the fullness of the Holy Spirit reproduces purity in life. He is the Holy Spirit. I didn't say legalism. He don't produce legalism. He doesn't produce bondage. He gives you liberty because the reason you obey Him is because you love Him. You're not obeying a tyrant. You're obeying your lover. Listen, Ephesians or Galatians 5:16. Walk in the Spirit, you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. You're full of the Holy Ghost, you're not going to be fulfilling the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, Spirit against the flesh. There's that war going on. These are contrary one of another. You cannot do what you would. But if you're led of the Spirit, you're not under the law. You don't need the law telling you what to do if you're full of God. The Holy Ghost will. You'll be controlled by the law of love. God's people need the law of love. They don't need you standing with a whip over them. That's a bunch of carnal believers or a bunch of sinners that needs that. The works of the flesh manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envies, murders, drunkenness, revilings, and such like. The which I tell you before, as I've told you in time past, they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. If that's your lifestyle, you ain't saved. Now, God's people have power over sin. They may not always exercise it, but they got it. Anybody don't have power over sin ain't saved. It's available to us. Amen. In the hand of God to make us a blessing unto others. Well, I'm just about done here. Let me read the rest of this. But the fruit of the Spirit, that's when you're full of the Spirit. This will be in your, if you're full of the Holy Spirit right now, not how you feel, what's controlling your mind. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ, those that have yielded to the lordship of Christ, those that are under His command, have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. That means obey the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. Boy, isn't that a mouthful. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man. A man full of the Holy Spirit. Knows he's standing in Christ and is generally in appliance to the light God's give him. His prayers availeth much. Folks, I tell you what, I've got to live what I preach, and I want to. I want to live this. I don't want it to be a sermon. We get filled with the Spirit and then we lose that fullness. We have to be filled again. I'm going to tell you something. Let me just throw this in here. The hell of hell is not the fire. The hell of hell is not the duration, the eternality of it. The hell of hell is not the darkness. The worst thing about hell is that you'll never know God. That's the worst part of hell. You'll never know His love. You'll never know His forgiveness. You'll never know His kindness. And you get a sinner that comes to Christ just because they're so overwhelmed with Him. And the Holy Ghost makes him the great attraction. And they run to Christ solely because they love him and not just trying to stay out of hell. They'll serve him and they'll love him and they'll romance him in their heart. This thing's got to be a lot more than a fire insurance policy from hell. It's a relationship and a fellowship. You say, well, I want to know how I can get filled with the Spirit. Well, I want to talk about some of that tomorrow. All I can tell you is what I've tried to experience in my own life. And there's other men here, probably a whole lot better example, I'm sure, than I am. But the thing about this, don't get in no hurry now if you want to get full of the Spirit. This ain't no 5-second trip to the altar. Oh, no. This is God stripping you of your mindset, living by emotion, living by your own will, and yielding to Him. You say, well, I want to come and give God all. I won't yield it all. That'll start the process. That'll start the process. You don't become a sniper in a Green Beret or a Navy SEAL in a day. You're not going to be God's warrior by 5-second trip to the altar. It's a lifestyle. Amen. Well, we know what we need, don't we? God, the first thing God does, He breaks you. A horse has all that power, but it's worthless if it can't be harnessed. And you break a horse so it will obey you, so you can harness that power and put it to work for your glory or for your benefit and your well-being. They're called a beast of burden. And the Lord can't use us till He breaks us, where all that power He put in us can be harnessed, where He can trust us with it and will not use it to abuse the people of God. He empties us, breaks us, cleans us out, fills us. He don't fill your spirit. He's already in there. He fills your soul. And that's expressed through your body. Holy Father, thank you for the truth of the fullness of the Spirit. That God, this is even possible, blows my little mind. That a man or a woman, a young person, can be so under the control of the Spirit that you can flow unhindered and unlimited through. God, to do what you called us to do, Lord, we need to be filled to pray, to live right. Help me to hate what you hate and love what you love. May my soul be submitted to my spirit and my spirit to the Holy Spirit. God, we love you. Lord, what you've asked us to do, we can't do it. And I'm here to confess to you, I can't do it. But I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. So, Lord, we pray you'll start that process in somebody's life today where they'll yield to you. Lord, get me to that place where I can live this. Operate in the Spirit. Amen. Nathaniel, you going to play something? Now, I want you to do your best to be here tomorrow where I can really get into this. I think it's not because I'm preaching it. Of course, it's the truth that sets us free. Makes us free. What do you need to do? You say, Pastor or Preacher, I've got a hard time obeying that. I'm going to tell you something. You can't do it. Just forget about trying. Quit trying. When a sinner gets saved, they quit trying and they give up. That's how they get saved. They give up. They quit trying to do anything. And they throw themselves on the mercy of God and collapse at the cross. Why don't you quit trying today? Throw yourself at God's mercy. Say, God, I give you permission and I want to cooperate with you to get me to where you can fill me with your glory and your power.